For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, we're in chapter 46. And we're moving along. We're talking about the destruction of Babel, Babylonia. Babylonia was the country that had destroyed Eretz Israel. And before, we talked about how we would come back, King Cyrus. Cyrus was actually the Persian king that had come after Babylonia was destroyed. And there's a certain irony to it, that when Babylonia destroyed Eretz Israel, they thought that was because they were better, or that they were entitled to do those types of things. And there's an idea that what goes around comes around. And sometimes a person is the tool in Hashem's hands, and he has to realize that a person has to be worthy of it. And there's an interesting idea that when Hashem punishes a nation, he first shows that their gods are false. So, for example, in Egypt, the Egyptians worshipped the Nile. So what was the first plague? The Nile was turned to blood. Or the firstborns led the services in Egypt. And so the final plague was the death of the firstborn. And because the people feel that their strength comes from their religion and their philosophy, so, and if their religion and philosophy is destroyed, so then they themselves will soon disappear. So Babylonia worshipped idols, and the name of their idol was the Baal. And when Babylonia was destroyed, or when they were ransacked, the idols were all toppled, and the new ones were brought in of the new type. Basically, they went, they took them with them, the idols. They were scrap heaped. Some of the idols were made of jewels and, you know, metals, gold and silver. And here it's describing how these idols were loaded onto the carts, and they weren't able to protect the people that made, they weren't able to protect themselves. They were just all looted. We are, generally speaking, we're taught to respect things. In fact, we go so far, when we make Kiddush, we cover the challah because we don't want to insult the challah. We want to instill an idea that we don't like to downgrade anybody. We don't like to reject anybody. We feel that when Hashem created the world and there was only Hashem and the angels, he said, "We will make man." Why did he say, "We will make man"? Because when you do something, you have a partner, you say, "We," you ask them. And it's a similar idea with... it says that when Abraham made his bris milah, it says that Hashem appeared to him by Elone Mamre, in the plain of Mamre. Mamre was Abraham's partner, and he asked him advice. Now, Abraham definitely intended to do the bris, whether his partner said to do it or not to do it, but there's always an idea that a person should include their partners, a person should be respectful, a person shouldn't insult a person should be sensitive. There's one exception to that, and that exception is idols. With idols, that where people are led astray, we don't show respect for those types of things. There are people that want to say, "Oh, all religions are the same," and all of that. Because of that, it allows people to lead a lifestyle that to commit certain crimes, because basically they're saying there is no judgment, there is no Hashem, there is no God. It doesn't make a difference, and therefore we don't. At least in regard to idols, we're not very respectful. The Gemara mentions that it says, "Kolit Seinuso Aser." You're never supposed to make too much of a joke out of things. It's just not nice, except for idols. If you want to make a joke out of idols, go ahead. So, therefore, we find Christianity, people will call it Yashka. You know, that's like a funny kind of name, a derogatory kind of name. And other religions also, because they lead people astray. They keep people away from the true path. And the prophets themselves, we're going to see that they weren't very respectful of the idols. Now, keep in mind that idolatry meant all sins. I mean, they did human sacrifices, which is just murder to the idols. They just took young people and killed them and bound them, and every single idol they had human sacrifices. And then they had there was sexual impropriety, all kinds of orgies and things that went along with the idols. So you had murder and you had immoral behavior and you had everything else that went along with it in idol worship. So we don't show any respect for idol worship. We have no we don't value that at all. But even the prophets, as we're going to see, went out of their way to make fun of the idols. When a person would stand back and look at it, then they'd be able to see what the idols were. But when they were up close, they were impressed or they followed them. Here it describes the idols. There's two different ways to understand this. This one says, Korabel, Kores Navo. Navo and Bel, or Baal, were the two idols of Babylonia. And so it either describes them like being fallen down and thrown on the ash heap, or some people say it like they're like going to the bathroom. They're like constipated. They're like stuck. It's not real clear exactly what the insult is, but it's trying to say that look at these idols. They're fallen over. They're stuck. They're unable to help themselves. Hayu asabehem lechayu behema, and they were in their holiest places. Now these animals, these idols, are out in the wild. They're thrown away. Nososeichem amusim, and some people were carrying their idols because they had valuable things on them. They were a burden. Instead of making things easier, we say it's very interesting. We try to distinguish between the Hashem and the Torah. When they carry the ark, it says that the ark carried itself. You know, when they always have those long states, it says that when the Kohanim went to lift it up, they found they were like lifted up. It was like magic. It was but it meant to say is that for us, religion isn't a burden. It's quite the opposite. And Shabbos for us is not difficult. It's what makes life easy. It's what makes life a pleasure. Whereas these idols, they became a burden. They became a verse 2. Karsu karos. The idols, they soil themselves. They have no worth. Lo yuchu molet masse. They are unable to deliver. People went to these idols in a time of trouble, and the idols were supposed to protect them, and they offered all kinds of sacrifices, and it didn't help. Now the idols are going to being sent out. They're being replaced. The people in those times were very fickle. They would it was the idol of the day. It was like the flavor of the day. They had, every nation had their idols, and whichever was the conqueror, it was almost like a sports team. Well, if this team wins this battle, okay, we put their idol up on the pedestal. And if the next team wins the battle, then their idol gets to go on the pedestal. And so he's kind of describing that process. Verse 3, Shimo Eli Beis Yaakov. Now the Jewish people, the house of Jacob, a kosheris Beis Yisrael. Now, at this point, the Jewish people was a remnant. Not everybody was here. Some of us had been destroyed and sent into exile. Hamusi mini betin. And the Jewish people has known Hashem from the womb. Hanosi mini rechem, from the very beginning. And instead of going with the latest God, there are people that want to worship. They look at whatever is the newest fad in religion, and that's what they want to do. They kind of see what's popular. And now with Hashem, Hashem has been with us from day one. We don't need to look for the newest fad, the newest. He was with us not only from the Bethan, from the stomach, but he even took care of us when we were in the womb. There's the idea that Hashem provides for us before we were born. So listen, the house of Jacob, we have to realize that Hashem has always been faithful. Hashem has always cared for us. Hashem has always been with us. Now, it may be true that in the early years, Hashem was with the Jewish people, but the our Christian neighbors will tell us that he rejected us, right? They'll tell us that he decided to choose a different people. That was then, this is now. That's the Old Testament, right? That's what they will tell you. So the only problem is they didn't read the Old Testament, because it says, Hashem says, I was with you from the womb, and I will be with you v'ad zikna, until you get old. I will never reject you. And v'ad zikna ani hu v'ad se v'ani yespo. Now, it's very interesting. I'm with you until old age. Now, being old isn't fun. It's a challenge. It brings with it difficulties. And Hashem says, I will lead you through that time. I'd say for Anies, but I will help you. The word soivel means like to carry the burden. Being old is a burden. It's not easy, not fun, not, you know, when you're young, you don't have to worry about anything, you know, or at least they don't act like they do. But when you're old, you carry all kinds of burdens. Hashem says, you know, I was there before you were born, I'll be there till you're old, and I'll help you carry it. Aniyasisi, I made you, I formed you, I created you, Aniyasa. Aniyasbo, and I will help you, and I will carry that malad, and I will deliver. So that's pretty good. Hashem says, in other words, you don't have to be afraid. Satisfaction guaranteed. Lifetime warranty. That's basically what Hashem is saying. The Egyptians, you know, the Babylonians, it was the idol of the day. If this guy didn't work, they try another one. If there was a new fad, a new kind of worship, they worship the sun, they worship the sun, they worship the moon, they worship the moon. It's interesting. Some people say with the Chagadja, at the end of the Haggadah, where it talks about the goat and the deer and the stick that hits the goat, and then the slaughters the goat, and the ox that slaughtered the goat that slaughtered the and there's the idea that they were always looking for a better God, like a stronger God, and at the very end they come to the realization that the one above all is Hashem. And that's kind of the message of the Chagadja, that because the Egyptians worshipped the goat, that was the so you know when their god got destroyed, so then people looked at the next god. Well, let's worship the god of the conqueror, and then let's worship the god of that conqueror. And so ultimately, though, a person has to realize that go straight to the source and worship Hashem. Some people have this in the Siddur. It's this pasuk that's I think it's by. In Kelokenu Shabbos morning, in small lines, some people say that Vani Zekna Anihu Adsei Vani Yesvo Ani Yisisi. It's not part of the. If you look there, you'll see it, but it's not one of the things that we always say. But there are some people that actually say those words as part of the. But it's just a beautiful pasuk in terms of how Hashem will be with us and through thick and thin, and we will stick with Him. We're not waiting for the latest variety of the newest. One of the reasons it's been a challenge. There's a kind of observance called modern Orthodox, and the Rabbi Lamb, who is the head of what today they call modern Orthodox, never liked that term modern. Because modern implies that there's something wrong with the old and we have to go with the new, and that's directly against all of Jewish thought. Jewish thought says, Hashem doesn't get old. You don't need to go with the new one. You don't need to be modern. There's nothing wrong with the old. You know, modern means there's some newfangled, it's the American way to want the modern and throw out the old. You have to redo your kitchen. Why? Because that's the in color. They don't like the, that was old. You got to get a new wardrobe because you're not modern enough. So he didn't like the word modern. And so he campaigned to change the term for what they call modern, or he used to call it centrist. Mm-hmm. But somehow that didn't stick either, and now they went back to the old-fashioned name and they call it modern. My perspective is there's nothing wrong with being Jewish or Torah. You don't need an adjective, but they want to kind of describe them, trying to differentiate what makes them different. In other words, what's wrong with Beth Jacob? Why do you need to be down the street? Well, we're modern. You need something to... So what you want to say is, we're more... liberal. Well, they're not necessarily more liberal, but that's part of the. But part of the reason why they have a challenge is that modern is not a to us. That's not necessarily a compliment. Here we go. If you take a look at the Aleinu, Lishaber. Let me just see if it's every Aleinu. at we usually finish v'nemar v'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. Hashem will be king of the world, and on that day he will be one, and his name will be one. Yeah, here it is. After the Aleinu, there's something that some congregations recite the following. Never been in a shul that does, but when it's from this pasuk in which is here's the pasuk. Even till your seniority, I remain unchanged, and even till your ripe age, I shall endure. I created you, I shall bear you, I shall endure you and rescue you. Which is our pasuk. It's just interesting that it's this here, the Altira.
Doesn't that mean Hasidim?
I think it's Hasidim, Sfardim, those that say it. But like I said, we don't say it here in Beth Jacob. I haven't been too many places that do. But it is that pasuk in Yeshaya that we quote over here. But let's get it's just the idea that as Hashem carried us as we were in our mother, in the womb of our. There is this idea also that Hashem looks after us before we're born, and He looks after us through old age and from the beginning of time to the end of time. There's no time where Hashem doesn't look after us. Whereas the idol of the day, each idol changed and it became a new one. Verse 5, Lamin Tadmani, who are you going to compare me to? That you want to compare Hashem to the other gods, to Tivshani Venidma. Again, there's even a course, comparative religions. They just assume they're all the same. And they're really not. They're really nothing. Judaism, there's nothing like it. Hazolin Zav Mikis, when they make the gold, they have to put out the money and they have to get the silver. Yishku Itzarif, and they have to hire the worker. The Yasu Eil, and it's a man-made god. Yeskidu, and then they bow down to it. Af Yishtachvu, they don't just do they just don't bow. They do the whole hokey pokey, where they put their whole face on the floor and they wave their head like they do. This is something that's man-made. Again, he's describing the idols. Now the same idol, Yisu HaKosev, they then have to schlep it home. They go to all the work to create the idol, they pay for it, they form it, and then they put it, Vinichu Tachtov, the Yam and the Kovo, and they find a nice place for it, Lo Yamish, and then they have to stabilize it. And this same idol, they cry to it, they call to it, and it doesn't answer them. Lo Yana Misarasa, Lo Yeshilo. We call to Hashem, and He answers us all the time. He's always, we daven and we get answer, we get a response. Verse 8, Zikruzos, remember this. Vihis Oshashu. And you know what? Become strong. Strengthen yourself. Think about this. Hashivu Poshoi Malays. And if you strayed, you should put this to heart. Verse 9, study history. Zikurishonim. Remember what Hashem did. Ma'olam ken no chichel. He is the Almighty. Veinod Elokim, and there's no others. There's no partners, no sons, no other forms, no devil, no. It's all only Hashem. The Ephes Kamoni, nothing else compares to Hashem. Magid Mereshis Achris. From the very beginning, He had the end in mind. Mikadam Hashem Onasa, and He knew what was to be done and what was not to be done. And Hashem's plan, that's the plan that's going to exist and that's going to take place. And Hashem's will is being done. From one end of the world to the other. And Hashem formed it. Hashem made the world that we live in. Okay, verse 12. Shimu Eli Abire Leiv. Now, here he's addressing some stubborn people. The question, who are the stubborn ones? Are these the idolaters, or are these Jewish stubborn ones? I don't know. We have a lot of stubborn people of our own. We don't need to. But Hashem says, listen to me, you thick-hearted people. Hard-hearted means that people that some people need their help, and they are hard-hearted. They're not soft. They can harden their hearts and not help people. So, harukochi mitzdaka. Those people that are far from righteousness. When a person clings to Hashem, that's all about righteousness. It's impossible to be pious and be close to Hashem and not be involved in tzedakah, in righteousness. Karavti tzedkasi. Tzedakah is part of being close to Hashem. Lo tzedakah, not far away. Tzedakah, lo tzedakah. And Hashem's salvation will not be pushed off. Nesati b'siyin teshuah, and Hashem will save the Jewish people, the Yisrael tifarti, and to the Jewish people He will give His glory. I'm going to do two chapters this week, if that's okay. I think it's allowed. I checked the rule books. The truth is that's a very powerful chapter. It's a short idea of the downfall of the religion of Babel, and how people, they're so quick to do the newest, the latest, the newfangled. And it's okay in color. It's good to have, you know, to paint the house a new color and to get a new outfit. And there's certain things that new, even to serve Hashem in a new way, in a unique way, a different kind of class. You know, last year they're doing this year, the class is on famous fights, right? Mm-hmm. Famous arguments. Okay, that's, something different, right? It's not really different. It's just a different way of learning Torah, of the same Torah. But it's good to, but with the knowledge of Hashem and our relationship with Hashem, we don't look for the newfangled thing. Hashem is from the beginning and to the end. He's always there. He's a steady hand, and He helps us through labor and delivery and up until old age. And Hashem is the same Hashem. He doesn't change, and He will save the Jewish people. And there are others that they're not interested in Hashem. They're always looking for some new idol, and when that idol falls, they go to another idol. As much as the idol doesn't make sense, the scientific community is interesting because science constantly changes, and so the theories they believe in now are different than what they believed in 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and. So they are very critical of religion or of different religions, and they feel that they have. But if you just look at what they wrote 20 years ago, you'll see that their own theories constantly change, and what they believed it always goes by the latest, they find out what they said before was wrong. So let's see 47. Now we get to the actual people of Babel, the destruction of Babel as a nation. Again, it was destroyed a long time ago. There are people, we have a rule that if we read a prophecy of something ancient, if it was recorded, it must be there's a lesson in it for us, even though this already happened. There are certain people that are arrogant, and they look at other people's downfall and they say it won't happen to them. And that's what happened to Babel. And so here Hashem is telling them that you, Babylonia, are going to have a downfall. And it's going to happen very quick. And let's see what he says here. 47. Redi ushvi al afar. He said, you might as well get up and sit on the ground. You might as well sit shiva. Since that's a morning custom, to be get off, sit on the ground. And basulas bas Babel. Babel is described as a young maiden. A young maiden is somebody that is carefree and has no worries and has never had worries, hasn't carried a burden. So until now, you Babel have had the easy life. Shavi la'aretz, you know what? Get off your throne, get on the ground. Ein kiseba, you're going to lose your throne. Kilo tesifu yikro lach racha v'nuga. You know, all the good life that you had, all the delicate things, all the luxuries, it's going to come to an end. It doesn't last forever. Verse 2, you're going to have to do some hard work. You're going to have to get out there and work for a living. Now, the hardest work in those days was the millstone. I used to make the prisoners do the millstone. If remember, Samson had to do that. It was taking like rocks and grinding the grain into little pieces. Real heavy. And they had pulleys and things, wheels that they used to move these heavy rocks. But it was really drudgery. You know, we complain about the laundry. You imagine what a millstone was like. Supposedly that was like the hard job of the day. So he says, you know what? You, Babylonia, you're used to having slaves doing that kind of work. Well, you're going to have to do that work. You're going to have to make your own flour. Now, the certain jobs are embarrassing because you can't wear your princess outfits. If you wear certain outfits that are long, flowing robes, when you do manual work, you have to roll them up, and you have to, it's not very modest. And so he's saying over here that you're going to have to do, you've always been so arrogant, and so you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and roll up your garments and go as my say, cheshri shovel. You're going to uncover yourself, and you'll have to cross rivers Tegel Avaseich, and your nakedness will be revealed. In general, a nakedness, the original nakedness was that we have, we sinned, and we were embarrassed of our sin. That's where embarrassment comes from, is that we realize that we have done things wrong. And so uncovering nakedness is symbolic that those things that we're embarrassed of, that we thought we nobody would ever see, are now going to be seen. And so you, Bavel, all those things that you covered up are now going to be uncovered. And now sometimes things are uncovered and nobody's watching. Not only is it going to happen, but everybody's going to see and they're going to know, look what Bubba was hiding all these times. Look at what they really did. Look what they're all about. Look at the... there are a lot of times that had history not uncovered it, nobody would have known. You know, Bill Clinton would have, you know, gotten, you know, nobody would have ever known, you know, or different people, leaders that supposedly were moral or were this or were that, and history uncovered their nakedness or it was became known. No, Kamecha Feloef Gadam. Hashem said, I'm going to take revenge for what you did. Verse 4, Goaleinu Hashem Svachu Shema Kadosh Yisrael. The Redeemer is Hashem, and He is the Holy One of Israel. So, Babylonia, your time has come. You have destroyed Eretz Yisrael. So, what should you do? Shivi Domin, sit quietly. Bo B'choshim, you'll be in darkness. You're used to being the head honcho? Forget it. That time is over. They're really getting a warning. In other words, all the luxury and all the arrogance of this kingdom, their time was going to come. Verse 6, Gestapti Alami. I had gotten angry with my people, the Jewish people. Chalalti Nachlasi, and therefore I profaned my vineyard. I decreed that they needed to be punished. Fat name be Yadeth, and I gave them into your hands. Lo Samti Lam Rach, but you didn't take any pity. It's almost like, you know, when sometimes a person is in that role where they have to be the one in charge of punishment, or when they, but you're supposed to do it with mercy. You didn't take pity, Alazakin, on the elderly. Hikvati Alechem Od. You made things worse. Verse 7, Tamar La Olame, you thought you would always be on top. You'll always be the boss. Adlo Samti Ela Ali Bech, and you never thought, Lo Zacharti Achwisa, you never thought about the end. Verse 8, Ba'ata Shimuzo said, Dina. Now, you fancy, delicate one, Hayoshev is the vet, who always sat and never worried about anything. Ha'omer Belvava Ani Ve'efis Od, you always said in your heart, there's me and none else. Just me. I'm the only one who counts. Lo Eshev Almana, you said, you'll never be a widow. Lo Eshiko, and you'll never know what it means to be bereaved of children. Guess what? In one full swoop, you'll get them both in a day. You'll be widowed and orphaned. You'll lose your support and your strength. Now, the widow is in the present. A woman wouldn't have a husband. But orphan means she won't have a future. She won't have, they won't have children. It'll just come onto you. You deserve it because you were into kishuf. You were into magic, sorcery. The magic of that time also had to do with immoral behavior. It wasn't just that Harry Potter time kind of thing. That the black magic had to do a lot with the occult. It had to do with immoral behavior. It was something like the Rasputin. You know, so if you remember, Rasputin believed in holiness through sin, kind of thing. He engaged in adultery and all kinds of orgies, and he believed that people, by really tasting sin, then they can repent and come back to, you know, really kind of bizarre kind of. But if you look into the magic and the occult, even if you look at like the Salem witchcraft, the women that were accused of witches, it had to do also with immoral behavior. It wasn't just about somebody that, you know, the. It's why we're nervous about Halloween, because to us today, Halloween is very powerful. It doesn't really hurt anything. You get candy and you wear a costume. But at one time, it was associated with a certain witchcraft, a certain style of life, and a certain evil. We all know, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West. That we know it's bad. We just don't know why. You know, what's wrong with being a witch? You know, because the same word witch means a disgusting person, a terrible person, a mean, nasty. But today we've made it into like, you know, we like watching the movies, and it's a different. Our society looks at it different. We don't necessarily think of a witch as being mean and nasty, and there's a good witch, and maybe there's a bad witch, and there's a good witch. But the ancient times, their magic, there was no such thing as a good witch. And so, therefore, he mentions over here the sorceries and the magic, but this wasn't innocent magic. What's interesting is there's a famous question they sent to Rabbi Feinstein, of blessed memory, whether in an Orthodox synagogue, can you have magic shows? Because today, magic is just, it's sleight of hand, and nobody thinks that there's real occult. Nobody thinks they're talking to the dead. Nobody thinks that there's some idols and something really unusual is going on. So is it perfectly okay to have like magic shows at, you know, Jewish, you know, religious places? Is it that was part of the discussion. And part of the problem is magic has that old baggage, that it came from the wicked witch, and it came from a certain decadent part of society, which today is uprooted from that, I would say. In other words, you really don't, you know, it's a certain cultural kind of thing, but you'll find, you know, people will dress up as a witch. They don't feel that it does anything to them, or it's bad or negative, and Halloween to us doesn't mean anything bad or but it came from this, you know, people that did all kinds of unusual behaviors, if you study it a little bit. Any rate, the tzitzchi barasa, and you trusted your evil. Amarti, and you said, "Oh, nobody sees me." Chachmasech v'daytecha, that was your wisdom, that was your knowledge. And you said, "Shovasech v'tamer v'libeu," you said in your heart, "I need FSO. There's nothing else." So guess what? There is a God, and He knows about this. And uba alachara, the evil will come. V'losteva shachra, and there won't be a next morning. Shachar is like a shacharis, the morning. You always say there'll be a morning after. Well, guess what, Babylonia? You won't rise. You won't have a morning after. You know, the Jewish people, we have, you know, we should have faith, you know, that because we're back in Israel after 2,000 years. So that's pretty good. We got out of Russia after 70 years. That's also pretty good. So, like, we should have faith that of all peoples, we should see that Hashem keeps His promises. Like the, but Hashem said to you, Babylonia, you're not going to have another morning. There'll be no other, there won't be another day. And your present will fall. You won't be able to atone. And it'll happen all of a sudden. And you know what you'll have? You'll have a shoya. You know what a shoya is? A holocaust. That's the Hebrew word they use for a holocaust. The shoya. You'll have the Babylonian, you'll get it like a sudden holocaust. Lo Seder. And you won't know about it. You won't have time to prepare. Imadi. And you're still into your idols and into your magic and your witchcraft. And that's what you've been doing your whole life. And you think maybe that's where you'll do your hocus pocus and it'll save you from the trouble. Ulai tukha, ulai, ulai. Maybe, maybe. God says, all of your ideas, you've made me weary. I mean, you never thought about being a good person. You never thought about seeking out Hashem. Let them save you. You look on your stars, and they were into my lucky star. They were all into the stars, astrologists. They looked in the stars, and they, when certain times of the month, certain people born under a certain star, that all was ancient Babylonia. You think that's what's going to happen. But verse 14, Eya Kakash, it'll be like, you know, when straw, like it's lit by a fire, it burns almost instantly. So Rasam lo yitzios nafshim miyad lahava. You won't be able to save yourself from the fire. Even today, it's amazing, they had these very well-trained firefighters that were totally killed. It was a terrible tragedy. But the question is, and everybody's asking this, after studying fires and getting the latest high-tech techniques to save them, to put out fires, how come they couldn't save themselves? And the answer is that fire comes very quickly, and even with all the modern technology, it's a very dangerous type of thing. The fire, they still don't, with as advanced as we are, we still have to be humbled by the power of fire. It's really a scary, scary type of thing. And so when it wants to explain what will happen, it's like something will catch fire, and they won't be able to save themselves. To this day, like I said, it's a fire is a very dangerous type of thing, and with all of our science, we still haven't fully figured out how to stop it. Miyad lahava ein dachelus lachmum or, and you won't be able to warm yourself, you won't be able to use that fire. Verse 15. Kain hayelacha sheyagatis ochrem nerecha. And all of the things that you've put your effort into since you were young, Ish Lavro and the other people, everybody strayed to their own things. Ein Moshe, that won't save you. Because you have to, if you develop a relationship with Hashem, in a time of trouble, Hashem will be there for you. So that's the message. And so again, also very strong, beautiful, you know, chapter dealing with the message of Babylonia, the one that conquered the land of Israel, the one that was vicious, the one that saw themselves as the master of the world and thought it would last forever. No, it didn't last forever. And it's interesting, you know, today they, you know, people accept the Geneva Convention on prisoners because right now you're capturing other people's prisoners, and if you don't treat them right, well, it's going to happen that your people will eventually be captured prisoners, and you want them to be treated according to, so you have to, but that's, people have to be in awareness that they won't stay on top forever, and so this is the message that was delivered to Buffalo.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.